You have your Bible, turn to John chapter number 3. Go back to the book of John, chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, verse number 14, the Bible says, "And Moses lifted up, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, that neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be that deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God." I want to preach on a little thought this evening on God's remedy for the world's woe. God's remedy for the world's woe. As we look at this, and you could go back to the beginning here, and Jesus is teaching, He's talking, He's performing His ministry. And we know that there was a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. The Bible said, verse number 1, he was a ruler of the Jews. And he said, that same Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with him." So we see this man Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus. He comes in the night, inconspicuously, I guess, because he don't want others to know that he's coming to talk to this man Jesus. But he's heard so much about him. He's heard about the miracles that he does. And he comes up and he calls him a rabbi, which is teacher. He says, "Teacher," said, "we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Now you look at this and you say, well, he said that we know. In other words, Nicodemus was saying that I know, and some of the others in the synagogue know, that you are a teacher, and you're not just any teacher. He said, we heard the preacher, we heard John Baptist, we heard him preaching in, you know, repentance out in the wilderness, and he was a great man. He said, you know, was a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of repentance. But he said, there's something unique about you. You're a preacher, praise God, but you're a teacher, but you're also a doer of miracles. And he said, we've never seen it on this fashion before. He said, because of the miracles that you do, he said, we know that you must have come from God. Amen. He was getting close, wasn't he? Amen. He was looking for directions. He was trying to figure it out. Praise God. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we think we know who you are. He said, we know that you have to come from God. And see, me and these others have been talking about it. We've been communicating about it. Not just myself. He didn't say, "I know that thou art a teacher." He said, "We know." So he'd been communicating with the brethren, amen, down at the synagogue, trying to figure this thing out, trying to figure out who this Jesus of Nazareth really was. And Jesus expounds upon him the truth of the word. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Whatever I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. So he tells him, he said, if a man's not born again, he can't see heaven. He can't see the kingdom of God. Amen. Nicodemus says to him, he said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" he's trying to ponder this. He's trying to figure it out. He said, "How can man be born a second time?" He said, "You're born." He said, "Can you enter again into your mother's womb and be born in this world twice?" Amen. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit." Now, look at what Jesus does. He brings this thing down to a spiritual nature. See, Nicodemus was thinking on it as a physical nature, a worldly nature. Jesus brings it down to that spiritual nature. "So verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Amen? Praise God. In other words, he said, if you don't come in and accept it by faith, praise God, you'll not get in. Amen? You got to accept it by faith. Praise God. He said, that which is born in him. I can see Nicodemus. He stands there with a blank look on his face. Amen. Kind of like me and you would be. Just think about it this way. If you never had the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you had was the Old Testament, and all this stuff's coming at you in a breakneck speed, amen? And you're standing there before Jesus, and Jesus is telling you this stuff, and you're trying to figure out mentally, you're trying to see it, you're trying to put it in its place, and you're trying to fill in the blanks, praise God, and you just don't have the words, the vocabulary to fill it in. Amen? Can you see what's happening to Nicodemus? Amen? He was a ruler, he was a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the people, praise God, the ruler of the Jews. But he just didn't have all the answers. Now, there was a whole lot of them that he should have had, and I'll show you in a minute. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, what he's telling Nicodemus, he brings it down just as elementary as you can get. He says, in other words, the flesh reproduces flesh, amen, and spirit reproduces spirit. Somebody say amen. I got it. Amen. Did the light go off? Amen. He said the flesh reproduces flesh. We're born of flesh, praise God, in our first birth. But he said then the Spirit of God comes along and it reproduces itself in the spirit. Praise God. So boom, there's the new birth. Amen. Born again. The reproduction. He said, marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Amen. So he says, hey, don't marvel at this. At such a, don't try to ponder it in such a way to where you make it bigger than what it is. He said, what it is, praise God, we're born in the flesh. But he said, we've got to be reborn. We've got to be born in the spirit to make a difference. Amen. So God said, hey, listen, because of sinful, we got sinful nature. And God said, because of our sinful nature, praise God, we've got to figure some things out. He says in verse number 8, now watch this. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now think about this. So he's already told him that flesh brings forth flesh, spirit brings forth spirit. But he said, and the wind blows from where from one place to another. He said that we don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it goes. Amen. Hey, I have a question for you. Can you see the wind? Huh? Can you see the wind? No. We see the effects of the wind, but we don't see the wind itself. We don't know where it comes from, and we don't know where it's going to end up. But we know the wind blows because we see the effects of it. Amen? So Jesus brings it down just as elementary to this man of God, this teacher of the Jews, and he brings it down, puts it on the bottom shelf, and he said, listen, the wind blows, and you don't know where it comes from, where it goes, but you see the effect of it. Amen? He said, so what I'm telling you, he said, you've got to be born of the Spirit, and said, when the Spirit of God, the great big Spirit of God, the third person of the Spirit of Godhead moves into your life, praise God, you begin to see it. Everybody else around you begins to see the effect of that wind, that Spirit, praise God, in you. Amen. You get to can't help it, so you don't care. And everybody else starts seeing a transition in your life. Amen. Praise God. He said, so it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said, you see the effects. The effects are there. Amen. We don't know the source. We can't see the source, in other words, but we see the effect of the source. And then Nicodemus answered, said unto him, now watch this. He said, how can these things be? He was perplexed. Amen. He said, I'm struggling with this. How can it be? And the Lord says this. Now watch this. Verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He said, you're a master, you're a teacher of Israel, you're teaching them the scriptures and you don't understand this? These are the basic principles of your faith from the Old Testament. He said, this ain't modern day religion, brother. He said, this is what the old book said and you don't know it. He said, you are to know that, praise God, from over Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, 20, praise God, where God said that he'd move upon you and he'd touch you and he'd put a new spirit in you, praise God. Where do you think that spirit come from? That spirit come from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, why don't you understand? Why are you perplexed with this? He said, it's the simple word of truth that I'm speaking to you today. He said, you come to know. And he said, I'm just putting it on the shelf. Amen. Unloading it for you so that you can see it. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And now watch this. He said, and you receive not our witness. Amen. Kind of like, oh, we read over John chapter 8 this morning. He said, I'm telling you, but you don't believe what I say. Amen. You don't trust what I tell you. He said, I'm telling you the truth. He said, you ought to be able to see it. The prophets of old, praise God, have told us. That's why I said the Pharisees went into this thing when the Messiah come with their eyes wide open. God done paint them a picture in the Old Testament, gave them a promise of the Messiah that would come. Amen. The Messiah that would come. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse 6. He said there's got to be a son given. Ezekiel said, praise God, there's got to be a new heart and a new spirit that's put within you. He said, that's what's going to make the difference. But he said, you've testified of it, you've seen it, but you haven't received it. He said, you have to receive it. He says, verse number 12, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Amen. He said, you won't even believe the earthly things I tell you about. Amen. Even the scenario about the winds. So if you don't believe that, you can't understand that. How can you believe the things of the Spirit? Amen. Verse number 14. This is where we want to look at these verses right here. He said, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why did Moses lift up a serpent in the wilderness? Because the Bible says there was a curse on Israel. Amen. In the wilderness. And these fiery serpents began to come out and they began to bite the people. And when those people were bitten, praise God, they were dying. But God had Moses, praise God, he made a fiery serpent and he put it on a pole. And when those people in faith would believe, they said, that old fiery serpent bit you. It's up there on the poles, you see. And said, if you'll look upon that serpent, you'll live. It's a type of the substitution that Lord Jesus Christ is for us, praise God. That sin that we had in our lives. And Jesus became that sin. And he was lifted up above the earth, praise God. And he became sin for us. He was a type of that serpent that was on that pole. And when we look to him, we live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's Jesus as our substitute. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. That's a present possession. Amen. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Amen. It's a present possession. Praise God. If we look upon Jesus, if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he said we're not perish, but have eternal life. In other words, he said that's present possession. He said that's what we'll have right now. Amen. Fool on the devil. He wants to make you think that you're dying all the time. This old flesh is dwindling away. But glory, hallelujah, my soul, your soul is going to live forever. If you're born again saved, you're going to be with Jesus one day. Praise God. Praise his name. You'll have eternal life right now and then forever. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So I want to look at this just a minute. God gives us a remedy. God's remedy for the world's woes. He lays it out here for us. He lays it out to this old Pharisee, Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the Jews. Jesus has done all these wonderful miracles, and it got his attention. Amen. When God begins to do miracles, when God begins to perform things in different people's lives today, amen, is God not the same yesterday and forever? Is God not able to still perform miracles today? Amen. Is he still not able to do those magnificent things that he's done in days gone by? Amen. Absolutely. Praise God. He's able to do all those things. So we look at this and we see the remedy, praise God, of the world's woes. And God begins to lay them, the Lord begins to lay them out here for us. He tells us. Number one is the object of God's love. Who is the object of God's love? The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The world is the object of God's love. It's that whosoever will. Amen. People that get in there and they get the reading in Romans chapter 8 and they get over that section. Brother Charles read, there's more talk about that predestination and some men's predestined to hell and some's predestined to heaven. That ain't the God I serve. Predestination, praise God. God predestined every man, woman, boy, and girl to be saved. From the foundation of the world, God made a promise that He would send Jesus Christ the righteous to be the propitiation for sin. And that through Him, you and I might be saved. That this Holy Spirit that Nicodemus, praise God, didn't know a whole lot about, the Lord Jesus was telling, say, you ought to know this because the old book has told you, praise God, God through the Spirit of God would put a new heart in you. He'd take that old hard heart out, put a heart of love. Amen. So we could love one another. Praise God. Amen. So even in the midst of the darkness of this world, praise God, He loved the world. Say, so loved the world. It's darkness and all. It's guiltiness. Amen. The world is guilty. The world stands guilty before God. Amen. Of sin. Amen. The world's hopelessness that it has today. Amen. No, with no hope in this world, praise God. But I want to tell you, praise God, there's hope that's out of this world. There's hope that's sitting at the right hand of the Father that's making intercession for you and me. That hope's a challenge to our lives. Amen. Praise His name. So God sends His divine love. Not condemnation, but salvation is what He offers to us. Amen. He said, we're not falling into condemnation to be condemned. He said, but praise God, we've been brought out and saved unto salvation, which of the Lord. Because God so loved the world. Now that word so, praise God, he said, that word so, I've told you before, it means in this great and magnificent way. This is what the word so means, in a great and magnificent way. This is the way that God loved the world. Amen. I don't know about you, I look around the world and I don't see a whole lot of lovely things. Amen. There's a whole lot of ugliness in the world. But praise God, God looks down on it and He's being a God, a positive God and a good God to us. He sees the positive things. He sees not who we can be or what we are, what the world is, but He sees what He can make the world to become. Amen. So God has a remedy for the world's woes. Praise God. And it's the object of God's love. It's object of the world, praise God, which we live. Amen. So we see that, and then we see the manifestation of God's love. The Bible says that God so loved the world that what? That He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. How much did God love this world? He gave it. He loved the world, praise God. He so loved the world in such a way that He gave the world His only begotten Son. He gave the world His Son Jesus. He gave Him, praise God, His blessed anointed Lamb. He gave Him, praise God, the blessed the glory that was sitting beside Him, praise God, to be bestowed. He gave the very best that He had for you and I. Amen. Praise God. That was the manifestation of His love. How much He loved us that He gave His Son. Amen. It's the result of God's calculation of the world's needs. He looked out and He calculated the world's needs before the foundation of the world. Amen. Way back yonder in time past, He calculated it and He looked at it and He said, you know what? We're going to need somebody to go down there and take care of that situation. Because the Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and 23, He said, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. See, God didn't take God by surprise. Paul wasn't the first one to realize that when he wrote it in Romans 3:23. God knew that from the foundation of the world, that man was going to be sinful. And that man, praise God, was going to need some way, praise God, to save him from himself. Amen. That's what God does when He saves you, praise God. He don't save you from this world. Praise God, He saves you from yourself. From what you could become to what you can become. Amen. Praise God. So we see the results of the calculation, praise God. God, a world needs it. He begins to make choices. Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Amen? If you're going to be sinful and do bad things and wicked things and misbehave, you're going to have to answer for it. Amen? Every one of us is going to have standing to be accountable for it. And he said, the wage of this, the wage that you draw, what you got coming to you is death. He said, you'll die. You will die in your sins. Amen? That's what he told him. That's what he told him. We're reading John chapter 8 this morning. He said, if you don't receive me and you don't believe what I got to say, he said, you're going to die in your sins. But praise God, he said, I'm offering what I've come to offer to you is life. God looked to manifest his love to him, praise God. And he looked at it, considered, and he gave his son the very best he had, praise God. He said, but for the wages of sin is death. But watch this. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life. How do we get that? Through, amen, ain't that the next word? Through Jesus Christ, this is personal, our Lord. Amen? Wages of sin, all sin comes short of the glory of God. But he said the wages of sin is death. Of the wage that we're going to draw if we continue the way we're going without any reprieve, without any help. Amen? But praise God, he said the wages of sin is death. He said, but the gift of God, that gift that God gives us, praise God, is eternal life. And that life comes through Jesus Christ, our first personal Savior. And he begins to manifest himself to us, and he begins to give us that help. We can't have it by ourselves. We get it from God. Amen. Praise God, what a blessing it is, what a treasure to have someone like Jesus come down to where we was, right to where, I pray God, when Nicodemus came knocking on the door, guess who answered? Jesus answered. Amen. He began to manifest himself, and he began to expound upon him that love of God that he has. Praise God, so we'd see the manifestation of his love. The object of God's love was the world. The manifestation, praise God, is he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of that manifestation. The purpose of that manifestation, praise God, that he would reveal the attitude towards all that were loved. Amen? To all that were loved. And praise God. He said, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see the Son was given, praise God, and he was given for all. Every one of us, because he loved us, because he so loved us, praise God, that he gave the very best he had. Amen? And I don't know about you, I appreciate that night on Wednesday night, 1976, when I accepted that gift that he had to give me. Hey, Jesus didn't give me himself, praise God. God Almighty gave me his son, praise God, that through him I might have salvation. Praise God. So we see that manifest, God's remedy, praise God, for the world's woes. It was given to us through him, by him, that we might all be saved. Praise God, we might enter into his rest and the hope that we have. Amen? Praise his name. Ain't you glad that that's the way it is? That whosoever believes in him should not perish. That word perish means to be made useless and no account. Amen? Praise God. I don't want to be made useless to you. I want to be accountable, praise God, and I want to be made useful to the Lord. He says should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's life that lasts forever. I'm not planning on dying. Amen. I'm planning on seeing my Savior one day in a little while. Amen. Won't that be such a blessing? When we get to the place and point that we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see him face to face, and we realize and recognize the love that he has for us, so that we can concentrate on him, and we can realize the promise that we have from God. He loves us enough to come down for us, where we are. And he corrects us, and he puts us in our place because he loves us. Amen? Because God so loved me that he come down to where I was. When I was just like every other sinner in this world, Jesus come to where I was. That remedy for my sin, that remedy for the woes of this world, for the world's woes, it was Jesus Christ the Lord. And God Almighty, praise God, purposed in his heart that I should not perish, but that you and me should have everlasting life.
Life that'll last forever. Life that'll be praised. It'll be so precious. It'll be given from God through Jesus Christ our Savior. What a blessed hope we have. He said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. That ain't why Jesus come. Amen. They thought it was. They thought it was awful that He was preaching that people were going to die in their sins. But He said, you don't have to. He said, if you'll just receive me, praise God, I'm a gift from God. I come down from God. I come down to you. I'm that gift of life, praise God. I'm that marvelous light that shines out of darkness. If you'll just believe in me and trust in me, praise God, I'll become the light of your life. Amen. Glory, hallelujah, be made manifest. Bless His name. He came not to condemn the world. Praise God. But that the world through Him might be saved. How are we saved today? We're saved. The only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. We have to receive Him as Savior. We need to be telling everybody we see, everybody we know, hey, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Because the only way you'll get out of this world, the only way you'll get to heaven saved is by knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. The Redeemer of the world. He died for every one of us. He died for you this evening. Just like He died for me. He offered up Himself. Not to condemn us, but to save us. Praise God. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, He said, is condemned already. You're already in sin. You're already condemned. He said, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What'll send you to hell tonight? What'll keep you lost and destroyed and downtrodden is unbelief. How do we get out of that though? What is the world's, the remedy of the world's woes? It's receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make Him the light and the Lord of your life. Make Him King of kings and Lord of lords supreme. I praise God in the very fiber of your being. I knowing Him, amen. Praise God from the time you get up to the time you go down and just praising Him and giving Him glory for being there with us because He promised He always would be. Amen. Boy, what a blessed hope we have in Him. He says, this is the condemnation that the light is coming to the world. See, that light brings condemnation. It lights you up, illuminates you, and shows you where your sinfulness is. Amen? That the light has come in the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. They're still stumbling around. Hold up, he's still stumbling around, stumping their toes on things, praise God, because they're walking around in the dark. And the Lord said, praise God, listen, so I sent my precious Lamb of God. I said, I so loved you. That I sent my precious Lamb, praise God, to be that light that would shine and light you a path unto the Father so that we could come, praise God, by the light into that glorious presence of God Almighty. Amen? A place where we can see, where the redeemed can gather together. And it's not going to be long. He said, as you see all these things begin to come to pass, amen? All the things, he said, wars and rumors of wars. We're moving tanks and artillery and all that kind of stuff all over the place. It's like a great old big chess game. Amen. And we're seeing, he said, it's what it would be like in the last days. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, he said, then look up and lift up your head because your Redeemer's coming. He's drawing nigh. He's getting ready to come get you. Amen. Come take you home to be with Him. And boy, what a glorious day that'll be. Praise God. He said, but they don't see it because their lights are their deeds are evil. He said, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Amen. They say, hey, listen, I'm just going to stay out here in the darkness and God won't ever know. Boy, the devil's got you deceived. Amen. I'm just going to stay over here in the dark and, you know, just kind of stay myself and God will never know what I'm doing. God knows exactly what you're doing. He knows where you're doing and how you're doing it. He knows the thoughts and intent of your heart dividing asunder your soul and spirit. There's no fiber in you, praise God, God don't know about. And He knows why we do what we do. Amen. He knows why you're here at church tonight. He knows whether you want to be here because this is where you just feel like you get help and where you want to be, or you're here because you feel like you have to. Amen. Praise God. I'm here tonight because I just want to be in His presence. I want to be with His people. I love God's people. I love the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm Him because I love the brethren. I love yous. Praise God. Yous are special. He said, if we don't want to come into the, out of the darkness, want to live in the darkness. He said, there's something messed up. Listen to what he says, and I'm done. He said, but he that doeth truth, doeth truth. In other words, do what God says. Cometh to the light. You got to, because that's where we get truth at, right? That's where we know right from wrong. That's where we know how to behave and how to act ugly. Amen. Praise God. When God begins to minister to our hearts, He said, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. That's Jesus. That His deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, that one that's doing right, that's coming to the truth. That's going to the light. Praise God. His deeds will be manifest. His deeds will show up that they are the thing that's pleasing to God. In essence, it's what brings God glory. Even right now. But he said, I don't want anybody to perish. Amen. He said, I don't want anybody to perish, but I want everybody to have everlasting life. That's what God wants for us today. Praise God. I don't know about you, that's what I want for everybody too. I'd like to see everybody get in. Amen. I'd like to see my neighbors get in. I'd like to see all my family members get in. I'd like to see everybody saved by the marvelous grace of God. Getting in, participating. Because God has a plan, a remedy for the world's woes. And He sent it when He sent His Son Jesus to a cross on Calvary. Born in a stable in Bethlehem. Laid in a manger. Amen. Because there was no room in the inn. Grew up, praise God, in a little town called Nazareth at the hand of a carpenter. As a carpenter's stepson. Amen. Praise God. Joseph wasn't his father. That was his stepfather. Praise God. Mary was his mother. Praise God. Born of the bloodline of a king. Praise His holy name. But born unto us a son, which is Christ Jesus the Lord, who would grow up. Amen. He would grow up. He wouldn't stay a little baby and he wouldn't stay in that manger. But he'd come out of there, praise God. He'd go to an old rugged cross. And he'd go to a borrowed tomb. Amen. He'd only need it for about 3 days. And on that third day, praise God, he'd get up victorious over death in the grave. What's God's remedy for the world's woes? Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the remedy for the woes of this world. And Jesus Christ the Lord, praise His name. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Because that's born of the flesh is flesh, but that born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. I've been born of the Spirit. How about you?